Over the past few weeks, we've been gazing together upon the cross, the crux of our faith. This short series, I hope, has helped remind us that the cross is God's love laid bare, that it's not some act that God had to do to save us. No, the cross is an act that God underwent to show us that God will never abandon us and that God longs for us to be freed from all the silly sacrificial games that we think we have to play. Over these past few weeks, we have seen how the cross is God's ultimate gesture of being with, of remaining, of never abandoning us. We have seen how this act was God's way of disrupting the orderly worlds that we have created for ourselves. We have seen how the cross was the culmination of God's cosmic battle with the powers and principalities that invade our minds, our hearts, our bodies, which propel us to marginalize and exclude others for our own benefit. And today, I think I saved the best for last. For all of these things, I believe, sum up what the ultimate gesture of the cross is, and that's friendship. For the cross teaches me more than anything that friendship is the aim of human life. So as we get started, let us pray. Loving Lord, where would we be without friends? We would literally be no place, alone in your creation, yet unable to recognize it as creation. It would be just another lonely place. But you have placed us next to one another. And being so placed, we are forced to recognize that others exist. Bodies, warmth, presence, friendship, love. It's so wonderful and yet so frightening. We are not alone. You created us passionate beings, hungry for one another. You want to make us your friends. And in so doing, make us friends with one another and even ourselves. Life is sweet when we are with friends. Praise be to you for giving us one another. Amen. The book turned movie, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, is a story about an 8-year-old boy named Bruno and his family in Germany during the Second World War. Bruno's father is a soldier in the Nazi war machine. And early in the movie, Bruno's family moves to another part of Germany because Bruno's father has just become the commandant of a strange kind of camp. As the family moves into their new house, Bruno selects a bedroom on the top floor with a window. As Bruno gazes out the window that first time, he notices something strange. A group of people nearby who are all wearing pajamas. Confused, he immediately rushes down the stairs to ask his mother and father about their weird new neighbors, who he assumes are farmers. "Why are they all wearing pajamas?" he asks. Bruno's parents have no intention of telling their son that this actually is no farm, but a concentration camp. Instead, they just have Bruno's window boarded up. But Bruno, like many 8-year-old boys, is an adventurer, an explorer. And with no friends nearby, Bruno is left alone with little to entertain him. Eager to find something to do, one day, Bruno wanders out of the backyard and meanders beyond the woods, only to discover a really high fence. On the other side of that fence, Bruno notices the people that he saw one day from his window. Hundreds of people, all wearing striped pajamas. As Bruno walks up to that fence, he notices a boy about the same age. Bruno introduces himself and discovers that the other boy's name is Shmuel, which he finds odd and perplexing. "What kind of name is that?" Bruno asks. But Bruno is just so excited to finally meet someone his age that it never crosses his mind that Shmuel is incarcerated. The boys have a delightful conversation. Soon Bruno finds himself regularly visiting Shmuel. Often Bruno brings food to share with his new friend. The boys play games through that fence, and they talk about many things. However, often they have to cut their time short out of fear of being discovered. As their friendship blossoms, Bruno comes to learn that Shmuel is a Jew. But he can't understand why this innocent child, Shmuel, is being incarcerated. Why does he have to wear every day those pajamas? Why is he so thin and hungry? And above all, he wonders what role his father has in all this. One day, Bruno gets a surprise. He's playing in his home, and suddenly he sees his friend Shmuel working in the dining room. We're going to pick up the movie there with a clip, but I'm going to warn you, the clip is very, very quiet. So you may need to turn your volume up to hear it. I looked for multiple clips, and this is the best, the loudest that I could find.
Here. They wanted some tiny fingers to clean all these. We're not supposed to be friends, you and me. We're meant to be enemies. Did you know that? You want some? What's your dad like?
What's he like?
Is he a good man? You've never thought he wasn't? And you're proud of him?
Aren't you proud of yours?
Is it really horrible in the
camp? How dare you talk to people in the house? How dare you? Are you eating? Have you been stealing food? Answer me!
No, sir. He gave it to me. He's my friend.
Little man, do you know this Jew?
Do you know this Jew?
No, I just walked in and he was helping himself. I've never seen him before in my life.
You, finish cleaning the glasses. When I come back, we'll have a little chat about what happens to rats who steal. Come away.
Okay.
It's a haunting clip. A clip about the pressures to conform. About the betrayal that is necessary to fit in. I appreciate how this clip shows Bruno's immediate regret. He knows he has betrayed his friend, his best friend, and it tears him up inside. He knows he has to do something about it. So a first chance that he can get away. Bruno returns to that fence, hoping to be reconciled with his friend. However, when he arrives, he encounters a scared Shmuel. The large black eye on Shmuel's face tells the price that Shmuel paid for Bruno's betrayal. However, Shmuel quickly accepts Bruno's apology. And as the movie continues, that friendship, it continues to blossom. As the movie progresses, tensions quickly arise at Bruno's home when Bruno's mother comes to realize what's really going on in that camp. That they are murdering Jews and that her husband is the one that is in charge. Bruno's mother wants absolutely no part in this atrocity. And she argues that this is not a safe place for her children either. With their marriage in shambles, Bruno's father finally accepts that this is no place to bring up children and arranges for his wife and his kids to move in with a relative. But for Bruno, this means the terrible prospect of leaving Shmuel forever. Tomorrow is moving day. So Bruno heads to the fence one last time to see Shmuel and to tell him goodbye. But when Bruno gets there, he finds out that Shmuel's father is missing. Bruno, longing to atone for his earlier action, his betrayal, he decides to help his friend. Together, they come up with a plan. Tomorrow, Bruno will return with the shovel. Shmuel will steal a set of pajamas for Bruno to wear so that he can blend in. Then Bruno and Shmuel can spend some time together looking in the camp for Shmuel's father before they say goodbye. The next day, right before departing, Bruno returns to the camp one last time. He scrambles under the fence, puts on a pair of pajamas that Shmuel gives him, and dons a striped hat so that no one can tell that his head is unshaven. Then the two boys quickly set out to find Shmuel's father. But it doesn't take long for the atmosphere to change. Soldiers appear, corralling large groups of people in striped pajamas towards a barn at the end of the camp. There is no escape. Bruno and Shmuel are swept up in the crowd. All the people are herded like cattle down the steps and into the barn. At this point, Bruno's mother notices that he is missing, and she alerts her husband. A host of soldiers start looking for Bruno, but it's too late. He is inside the barn beside Shmuel, while all the people are forced to take off their clothes for a shower. Somehow, the boys know that this isn't going to be an ordinary shower. Both knowing and unknowing the horror that lies ahead, Bruno and Shmuel clasp hands and they squeeze tight. It is clear that nothing in the world can get them to let go. The movie ends as darkness descends when the gas begins to be pumped in and the horror engulfs that barn. However, it's the book, I believe, that captures this torturous final scene best. For when Bruno and Shmuel are facing the end, as they are clasping their hands, refusing to let go, the book ends with Bruno saying these final words. "You are my best friend, Shmuel. My best friend for life. The boy in the striped pajamas. It's a children's story, but it's not really a children's story. For it's a story about mass murder, deception, merciless cruelty, apocalyptic slaughter, systemic genocide, and indescribable suffering. But at its heart, it's a story about two boys who become friends because they didn't know better, ironically highlighting that they are actually the ones who know better than everyone else. Because they are the only ones in the movie who understand the power of friendship, forgiveness, and love. And they are the ones who ultimately refuse to listen to their society's notion that they must be enemies. I believe that that image of Bruno and Shmuel side by side, holding hands at the end, is a picture of God in us. It's a story of Jesus' incarnation on the cross. However, unlike Bruno, Jesus enters the camp of danger, knowing fully well that his entry will likely entail his gruesome execution. And still, Jesus puts on the garment of exclusion. He willingly puts on those striped pajamas and prepares to face the consequence of humanity's rejection of God. Jesus becomes a Jew and discovers for himself the persecution that Jews have known throughout the ages. Jesus becomes a little child and places himself at the mercy of adults who can't be trusted to have any idea what they are doing. Jesus places himself at the mercy of the powers. He becomes naked, humiliated, helpless, to show us once and for all that no matter what we do, God will always be beside us saying, "You are my friend, my best friend for life. I wouldn't be anywhere else in the world but right here beside you." That's what those mysterious words of John's gospel mean, that the word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. God didn't just create us. God didn't just love us from afar. God didn't just work in history to rescue and strengthen and heal us. God's real glory, God's true nature, appears in the real, substantial, material, physical reality of Jesus among us. Jesus just like us, Jesus beside us. And beside us not just in times of joy and celebration, but beside us especially in our times of horror and agony, isolation and abandonment. For this is what it means to be a friend. Jesus is Bruno, donning those pajamas, reshaping his whole life so that he could come beside us, so that he could come inside the camp of obliteration when he could just as easily remained outside. But Jesus is just as much Shmuel, donning that black eye because of our fear, because of our unwillingness to display love, and yet forgiving us when he suffered because of our sin. The Jew who includes even ignorant Gentiles into God's story of salvation. The beauty of the Christian faith is this. Despite our meanness, despite our faithlessness, despite the danger and disgrace of doing so, God chose to become our friend. The message of the cross, God's message for us, is the same message Jesus shared with his disciples as he said goodbye. "Today I call you my friends." For the one standing beside us in the gas chamber, saying we are his best friends forever and ever, The one clasping our hands and refusing to let go. That's Jesus. Amen.